Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, still in speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, sees a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards.
Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think we're going to get him.
He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him into 39 at the 40. Comes to the outside, 45. He's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow!
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I will be here each and every week talking LSU football. Thank you for tuning in. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. The LSU Tigers picked up a huge SEC win on Saturday when they defeated the Florida Gators 35-28. It was certainly a wild night in Tiger Stadium, so let's go ahead and we're going to recap the night. Florida actually got on the board first. Jake McGee, four-yard pass from Treon Harris, got Florida on the board early, 7-0, but it didn't. Actually took almost a whole quarter before LSU can get on the board. And, of course, Leonard Fournette from the Wildcat, two-yard run, ties it up. And then Malachi Dupree, great pass from Brandon Harris, a nine-yard pass, makes it 14-7. And then Leonard Fournette, once again, his second touchdown of the day, makes it 21-7. LSU, and then Florida just drives right down the field in less than a minute. Jake McGee, his second touchdown pass of the game from Treon Harris, makes it 21-14, and with just 15 seconds left in the first half, Malachi Dupree, 50-yard pass from Brandon Harris. That was a tremendous answer, because when Florida actually had come down and scored so quickly, I just felt like it took a lot just out of the momentum for LSU, and that quick strike right back, 50-yard pass to Malachi Dupree from Brandon Harris right before the half, making it 28-14, and then we got the ball at the half. That was certainly a momentum swing, but it didn't last very long, because in the third quarter, Kelvin Taylor, two-yard run, made it 28-21, and then Antonio Callaway, oh, man, that punt return. Oh, that was the momentum killer, if anything. And eventually, and then LSU with 10:40 left in the fourth quarter, probably the play of the year so far for LSU, lining up for a field goal, and he fooled me, fooled everybody, especially Florida, fakes it. Trent Domain catches it for a 16. Well, actually, it must have gone down for as a run, maybe Craig Thorpe threw it behind him, but it went down as a 16-yard run for Trent Domain, making it 35-28, which was the final score. And it was funny, they were talking about how terrible LSU special teams were, especially after giving up that 72-yard punt return to Antonio Callaway, that, you know, it was actually our special teams that won the game, you know, our fake field goal. But then again, Les Miles, I'm not sure what his percentage is when it comes to faking punts or field goals and whatnot, but it's certainly a very high percentage up there. Let's take a look at the team statistics. LSU ran for 221. Florida only ran for 55. And a very interesting statistic, they actually brought it up during the game on ESPN. Les Miles at the time before this game was over was 60-0 when running the ball for over 100 yards and allowing less than 100 yards from their opponents. Now, of course, 61-0. That is quite the statistic for Les Miles. Passing the ball, 202 yards, but Florida did have 271 yards. Treon Harris actually did play a fantastic game. And, it, you know, if he plays like that, especially, you know, and he played like that on the road in Tiger Stadium, did make any mistakes, made the plays, you know, that they needed to make to at least have a chance to win the game. And that's what they did, you know. Florida was very much in this game the entire time, no matter which way the momentum shifted, whether it was in favor of LSU or Florida. Florida was there the entire time, played one hell of a game. Certainly had me on the edge of my seat, had me a little nervous for LSU pulling out a victory, but they did. Thankfully, they are now 6-0. Let's keep going through the team statistics. Total offensive plays, we had 423 total yards of offense compared to Florida's 326, and then we only ran three less plays than Florida did. Another statistic I like, only three penalties for 20 total yards. So the fact that LSU, they're not committing penalties, they're not committing turnovers, taking very good care of the football. Also on third down, 7 of 14 third downs has always been the big topic of discussion lately with LSU, because, you know, we run, and then when it comes to third down, sometimes they like to run the ball when they shouldn't run the ball. But lately, over the last couple of games, they've been opening up the passing game, and Brandon Harris has looked absolutely spectacular. But, yeah, only three penalties for 20 yards. If I remember right, in the Syracuse game, we had, I think it was 12 or 14 penalties, something like that. And, you know, and that was a big question mark after that game, considering, you know, all the penalties they committed. How would that affect them going down the stretch, and how could that affect them in some sort of big game? Well, you know, against the Florida Gators, it certainly had no effect whatsoever. Running back Leonard Fournette rushed for 180 yards on just 31 carries. Well, I say just 31 carries. 31 carries is a lot of carries and two touchdowns. And you know it's bad whenever you have those kind of statistics, but people considered that Leonard Fournette was held in check against the Florida Gators, because I guess when you get used to running for over 200 yards a game, you run for less than 200 yards, being that it's only 180. You know, it's a below-average night at the office for Leonard Fournette, but nonetheless, it was another good performance from Leonard Fournette, enough to win. Brandon Harris threw for 202 yards on 13 of 19 passing. He had two passing touchdowns as well, and this is actually Brandon Harris' first time in his career thrown for 200 yards in back-to-back games. So, Brandon Harris, you know, we've been talking a lot about Leonard Fournette, and rightfully so. You know, he's obviously the front runner for the Heisman Trophy, but you have Brandon Harris now, who is you could just see him maturing week by week, and he seemed very, very confident in all of his throws against Florida. So the fact that Brandon Harris is feeling confident, I believe the coaches are feeling a lot more confident in his throwing ability, and that is what has led them to open up the passing game a little bit more. See, because I probably mentioned it in a previous episode, but I feel the reason that he has not been throwing the ball a lot is because even though maybe he feels confident, which maybe, you know, against like Eastern Michigan, he didn't have that great of a game, so maybe his confidence level went down, but maybe the coaches, you know, they weren't so confident in letting him, you know, throw the ball, whatever the case may be. But now it seems that has changed. 200 yards in back-to-back games, 13 of 19 passing. He's completing passes. He's getting touchdowns. And there was like one long bomb to Malachi Dupree, where Malachi Dupree just made a great judge on the ball and came back and caught it. And so Brandon Harris, he's not doing it all himself. He has great help wide receiver-wise with Malachi Dupree and Trayvon Doral. So, you know, it's good to see that they're able to connect just even on a play like that, where Brandon Harris kind of almost threw it up and Malachi Dupree made a great, you know, judged it terrifically, came back and caught it. Now that first touchdown pass where he threw it in the corner of the end zone, that was a beauty. Oh, my goodness, that was lovely. If Brandon Harris continues to do that all season long, I have no doubts about this team finishing undefeated. Yes, you know, it's still a little bit. We still have a lot of football left to play. We have a November filled with SEC West teams, and we have Western Kentucky coming up this week for homecoming. We'll talk a little bit more about Western Kentucky in just a little bit. We're going to continue recapping Saturday night's big win. Trent Domain broke the 28th all tie with a 16-yard rush on a fake field goal attempt to give LSU the 35-28 lead. He scored on a fake field goal with 10:40 left in the fourth quarter. It was the first fake field goal for a touchdown by an LSU player since Colt David ran for 15-yard touchdown against South Carolina back in 2007. And, of course, we all know what happened in 2007. LSU went on to win the national championship. So, hey, a little bit of, you know, maybe foreshadowing there for you, Tiger fans. Who knows? Because right now the way LSU's playing, they can compete and pretty much beat anybody in the country, in my opinion, as long as they keep playing the way that they've been playing. So great to see the Tigers continuing to have success all over the field. Lewis Neal, defensively, he had an outstanding game. He now has 7 sacks on the season, which is second in the SEC behind Texas A&M's Myles Garrett and tied for 8th in the country. Lewis Neal, oh, man, he was absolutely spectacular. He seemed to be all over the field Saturday night, you know, and then he was able to get pressure on Treon Harris a couple of times, and he was able to, you know, shut the door late in the game whenever they were trying to, you know, rally, tie the ball game up. Lewis Neal shut them down just very quickly, and great job by Lewis Neal. And not only that, his pursuit to the outside to get when Treon Harris would kind of roll out, because Treon Harris, of course, is a dual-threat quarterback. So, you know, Lewis Neal, even though times Treon Harris did get outside and catch the corner for the most part of the game, Lewis Neal did a fantastic job of containing Treon Harris. So very good to see Lewis Neal playing so great defensively for LSU. Awesome. LSU has not been this good against Florida in nearly 4 decades. The Tigers have won 5 of their last 6 against the Florida Gators, which is their best run in the series since going 5-1 against Florida from 1977 to 1982. So awesome that LSU has been doing so well against the Florida Gators, because the Florida Gators is that one SEC East rival that we have, that we play every single year, and then we alternate every other, because we have, the way it is now, for those of you who don't know, it's we got to play all the SEC West teams, obviously, so that's 6 games right there, which only leaves 2 SEC games for the opposite division that you're in. So in LSU's case, we have one SEC East rival that we'll play every year, which is Florida, and then the other game we'll just alternate between the other 6 SEC East teams. This year we just happened to play South Carolina, which we played last week. So we're through with the SEC East until possibly December, whenever we, I say when, we go to the, you know, the SEC championship, if we go to the SEC championship. I don't want to jump the gun just yet, because we still do have that gruesome November schedule against all of those SEC West teams. So that's a few more weeks down the line. For now, we have Western Kentucky, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. Right now, we're going to go over the top 25 scoreboard in college football. It was a crazy week in college football. Let's start last Thursday. 15th-ranked Stanford absolutely demolished UCLA, who was ranked 18th, 56-35. Then Friday, Utah State defeats Boise State. They knock off the Broncos, who were ranked 21st, knock them off 52-26. Houston, they remain undefeated. They're ranked 24th. I think they moved up in the polls. I'll have to check that in a minute. They defeated Tulane 42-7. Then we head on over to Saturday. The number one ranked Buckeyes defeated Penn State 38-10. And then the number two ranked Baylor Bears absolutely continue to just throw up points all over everybody. They defeated West Virginia 62-38. TCU, they get a 45-21 victory over Iowa State. Utah, they had to kind of rally a little bit against Arizona State. That was a late game Saturday night. They win 34-18. Clemson keeps on rolling. They remain undefeated, 34-17. Michigan State, oh my goodness, for anybody who was watching this game, wow. One of the craziest finishes in the history of college football. Probably second behind the kick six in recent memory. Michigan State ends up knocking off Michigan 27-23. They remain undefeated, set themselves up. Huge matchup with Ohio State in just a couple of weeks, so that's going to be fun to watch. That'll have some big college football playoff implications in that one. Alabama, they, you know, when Alabama loses a game early in the season, like in the last 2 years, like they did to Ole Miss last year and this year, they seem to turn on the jets immediately after. They absolutely dominated Texas A&M, at least in my opinion, even though the score somewhat may not show that. They won 41-23. Florida State beats Louisville 41-21. Ole Miss gets upset by Memphis, and Memphis actually cracks the top 25 this week. Memphis is still undefeated at 6-0 after they defeated Ole Miss 37-24. Notre Dame had to somewhat rally to defeat USC 41-31. Iowa, they remain undefeated. They're now 7-0 after defeating Northwestern 40-10. Oklahoma blanks Kansas State 55-0. And then Toledo, another surprise undefeated team, they are now 6-0. They defeated Eastern Michigan, who LSU defeated a few weeks ago. They defeat them 63-20. So another crazy week here in college football. Let's take a look at the polls. LSU is now ranked 5th in both polls. They move up in the, I think it was the AP poll, was it? They were ranked 6th, or maybe it was the coaches' poll. It was the coaches' poll. They were ranked 6th. They move up one spot. They are now ranked 5th in both polls. So Tigers are in great, great position right now. Let's take a look at the injury report. Jalen Mills, Tashawn Bauer, and Dylan Gordon all returned to the field this past Saturday. However, Dylan Gordon did go down, apparently aggravating his Achilles injury that he suffered against Auburn. He was seen on crutches and with a walking boot after the game, so I'm not sure yet what the timetable is for his return, but we hope to get him out there because he is a very important part of this offense. He's a tight end. He can block and he can receive. So, we have Colin Jeter, Deshaun Smith, guys like that who are capable of getting the job done, but it just sucks to see a guy like Dylan Gordon, who not many people defensively, I would think, really focus on, but he can do some damage. So hopefully he will return soon. Let's take a look at the LSU team statistics through their six games here. Total offense, we are now ranked 28th in the country, averaging 460 yards a game. And then rushing offense, 4th in the country, 325 yards a game. A lot of that has to do with Leonard Fournette. So, and then passing offense, you know, those first few games where we only passed the ball for, 70, 80 yards is still, you know, haunting us, at least on the statistics scale, because we're still ranked 120th in the country at 135 yards a game. Our rushing defense, spectacular. My goodness. We are tied for eighth in the country, giving up only 92 yards a game. We are 45th in the country in passing yards allowed, 205. So that's, you know, a little bit above average. Our team passing efficiency defense is 50th. Let's see. Fourth down conversions, we're still tied for first. We're perfect on fourth downs. I think, did we go for it? Yeah, actually, we did go for it on fourth down. Once, was it? Let me go back and look up at these team statistics. Yeah, 1-for-1 on fourth down, and I believe that was the game-winning touchdown by Trent Domingue. So, and I'm not 100% sure. I think we might have went for it on fourth down last week, too. So, but before that, we never had to go for it on fourth down this season. So I think LSU might be 2-for-2 or 3-for-3 on the season. Nonetheless, we're 100%. So continuing through the team statistics here, I'm looking, trying to see anything we kind of stick out at. Nothing else. Red zone offense, red zone defense, my goodness. Anytime somebody gets into the red zone, they have a 93% chance of scoring. So we're ranked a little low there, but luckily our defense doesn't allow teams to get into the red zone that much. Our red zone offense tied for 29th in the country, scoring 88% of the time. I'm trying to see if there's any, like, defensive punt return statistics here, but I'm not seeing it, at least from what I'm seeing on the NCAA website for the statistics. So nothing, because I remember they showed this the graphic during the game as to how we were ranked in the triple digits defensively for punt returns, kick returns, and whatnot. So that wasn't a very good look. But, hey, you know, special teams won the game, so I'm not complaining. We'll go ahead now and take a look at Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. It's homecoming week for LSU, and they will welcome the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky, who are 6-1. And, you know, normally LSU has an easy team for homecoming. I believe last year, actually, Ole Miss was our homecoming game, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong on that, but That was actually the first time in a while. I remember LSU actually playing the SEC team for homecoming, if that is indeed true. I'm not going to look because it really doesn't even matter. But Western Kentucky is not your average cupcake team. I'm looking at their schedule right now. They've already defeated an SEC team, and they've already defeated a Louisiana team in the first 2 weeks of the season. On the road at Vanderbilt, they defeated the Commodores 14-12 on the opening night, actually, in college football. Then a week later, they defeated Louisiana Tech 41-38. They did lose on the road to Indiana by 3, but since then they have been on a roll, scoring at least 49 points in their last 4 games. They are 6-1. Now, Western Kentucky may not be ranked, but they have received votes in both the latest coaches and AP polls. So, like I said, they're not your everyday cupcake team. You know, people, they'll look at a name like Western Kentucky, oh, LSU's got that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that, you know, how Eastern Michigan kind of hung around with LSU for a little while? These cats from Western Kentucky will probably hang around with LSU a little bit longer than Eastern Michigan did. So, the Hilltoppers are serious. They are a great football team. The story for Western Kentucky is their passing offense, led by quarterback Brandon Daugherty. He has 2,709 yards on the season with 24 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And I tell you what, that is not Brandon Harris numbers by any means right there. I mean, their quarterback statistics, now granted, they have not played the schedule we have played, but it doesn't matter. Through their 7 games, those numbers, unbelievable. He's thrown at least 3 touchdowns in his last 5 games. So, you know, this Western Kentucky team can throw the football. Taking a look at their team statistics, 9th in the country in total offense. Their rushing offense is 109th, and their passing offense is 3rd in the country, averaging over 407 passing yards per game. So they're somewhat the opposite of LSU. LSU has one of the top rushing games in the country and one of the bottom passing games, whereas it's vice versa for the Hilltoppers, one of the lower-ranked rushing offenses and top 3 passing offense in the country. Their team passing efficiency is 2nd in the country. Scoring offense is 6th. Their turnover margin also, they're ranked 3rd in the country at a plus 1.86. So, you know, Western Kentucky can get it done. Looking at their defensive statistics here, rushing defense, 76, passing defense, 106. So, of course, their defense, not that great. So, we may end up in a shootout with these guys for all we know. But Western Kentucky is going to come in here, and they're going to give LSU all they got. So, do not expect the Hilltoppers to want to, you know, just lie down for LSU. Of course, nobody wants to lie down for LSU. Nobody's going to lie down for anybody. But sometimes these teams come in here, like last year, Sam Houston State, which is an FCS team, came into Tiger Stadium and absolutely got demolished 56-0. That's not going to be the case this week. And we talk about FCS teams. LSU was supposed to play an FCS team earlier this year at McNeese State, and that game got canceled. And I'm actually, you know, after everything that transpired for LSU and as well as McNeese, that would have probably been a very interesting game because for those of you not keeping track at home, McNeese is now 6-0 on the season. So McNeese has defeated everybody they've played. They're rolling through. They're in the lead in their conference right now, ranked in the top 10 in the FCS. So that might have been a good game, but we'll never know, unfortunately. So McNeese is doing pretty well this season, as well as LSU. LSU 6-0 as well. So, and they got a tough task this week in stopping this passing offense of Western Kentucky. And, man, just looking at these numbers right now, I mean, my goodness. 2,709 yards, 24 touchdowns, and just 4 interceptions. I mean, they're obviously a pass, first, run, second, deep offense. Looking, let's see what else we got here. Their red zone defense is actually pretty good. They're 12th in the country, only allowing teams to score 72% of the time, which is still a lot. But, I mean, when you get down to the red zone, you know, you have a high chance of scoring at least a field goal. So their red zone defense is pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see how LSU plays that, you know, when they get down into the red zone, they're 11th in the country on third down conversions. So this Western Kentucky team is certainly going to give LSU the challenge in Tiger Stadium this week for homecoming week. I'm looking forward to it. The game will be at 6 o'clock on ESPNU. But, yeah, great victory for LSU this past week. Florida, like I said, Florida played a fantastic game, and they will certainly win a lot more games this season with Jim McElwain, first-year head coach, Treon Harris. If he continues to play well, we could very well see a rematch in Atlanta, and that's if LSU, of course, gets through their brutal November schedule, which in 2 weeks, I think it is, or 3 weeks, technically, we have Alabama on the road. That is going to be our toughest test because – after that, we have Arkansas, who's not played up to what people expected them to play this year. So I think Arkansas should be a victory in Tiger Stadium. Then we got to go on the road to Ole Miss. That's going to be another tricky game. But Ole Miss, you know, they've shown signs of greatness and then, you know, stumbling to like Memphis this week. Memphis is a good team, don't get me wrong. But Ole Miss, we just don't know who's going to show up for Ole Miss. So LSU can certainly win that game. And then Texas A&M, another game that's you never know. That game's going to be in Tiger Stadium. So John Chavis coming back to LSU as the defensive coordinator for Texas A&M, certainly going to be interesting down the stretch. So the last five games LSU has, you got four of those five games against SEC teams, and the one that's not an SEC team is 6-1 on the season. So LSU will certainly not have their work cut out for them by any means over the next month and a half, because this is when things are going to get serious. We got the college football first playoff rankings will be coming out in just a couple of weeks, actually 2 weeks from tomorrow, or is it 1 week from tomorrow? No, it'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow. So if LSU gets this victory this week, I honestly expect LSU to at least be in the top four for the first playoff ranking. So that's going to be quite interesting to see, because it, you know, last year at this time, LSU was nowhere close to the playoff conversation. We had already lost two games by mid-October, and, you know, they were nowhere in the conversation for the playoffs. Even going into the Alabama game, we had to even win that Alabama game and get a lot of help just to get to the SEC championship game. So a lot different role that LSU's playing this year now, with the only undefeated team left in the SEC, ranked in the top five, got the best running back, or if not the best player in the country, in Leonard Fournette, and then Braden Harris, spectacular, taking care of the football, making smart decisions, being confident. That is the big key for the success of the Tigers. Braden Harris continues to be confident, does not turn the ball over, makes good decisions, then LSU is going to be just fine. And you know, if we go undefeated, I wouldn't see why LSU could be ranked number one, especially with that brutal November schedule we have. Man, Ohio State's schedule will not match up to that. Baylor, TCU, Michigan State, none of their schedules will match up to LSU's schedule. So LSU will certainly be sitting pretty if they finish 12-0 and then head to the SEC championship, where we could meet up again with the Florida Gators, because they are still in the lead in the SEC East. They do have to play Georgia later this year, so that game could be very important as far as who LSU could face in the SEC championship. But LSU has their own fish to fry. We got to go through Alabama, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Texas A&M still. So we still got to go through four SEC West teams. And then, of course, we got to get through Western Kentucky this week. Will not be a cupcake by any means. So, well, it's about time for me to wrap it up here, folks. But thanks again for tuning in. Remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. This week, LSU will be back in Tiger Stadium for homecoming when they take on the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Game time will be Saturday night at 6 o'clock on ESPNU. So until then, folks, have a great week and go Tigers.